This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear brothers and sisters, I know we have come out of the month of Ramadan, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and our worship and our devotion in the month of Ramadan. We want to keep on making this dua for as long as we can, because that means that we are continuing to be motivated in the progress that we made during the month of Ramadan. And I know sometimes when we come out of the month of Ramadan, it can feel difficult. It can feel difficult to keep the momentum that we had going in the month of Ramadan. And first and foremost, it is important to understand that that is natural and normal, because Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, had a lot going for it. Number one, that is a month that is a Mubarak month. It is a blessed month. Allah has made that a blessed month. And that is a month in which, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that the gates to Jannah are wide open. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ and the doors of the hellfire are shut closed. وَسُلْسِلَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ and the shayateen, the devils, are chained up. And what that means for us is that because of the barakah, the blessings of that month, it becomes a lot easier for us to worship Allah. It becomes a lot easier for us to make sacrifices that we possibly were not able to make outside of the month of Ramadan. And that's why when someone is trying to quit a bad habit, for example, the month of Ramadan is a beautiful time to do that, because they have the blessings and the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that month. And so yes, when we come out of that month, it is normal to feel like, you know, it's not quite the same. The barakah maybe is not on that level. On top of that, we had something going for us in the month of Ramadan, and that was congregation, jama'ah. We were worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a community. Even when we are sitting in our own homes, we all knew that we are all sitting in our homes fasting together. And there is a different sweetness to breaking your fast and knowing that there are billions of people around the world breaking fast with you. There are billions of people around the world who are hungry during the day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, congregation, jama'ah. And that is one of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in why so many of our acts of worship in the deen of Islam are legislated by Allah in congregation. Because when we are together, we are able to motivate one another. We're able to be there for one another. And that helps us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Congregation, being there with one another. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bil jama'ah. He said, I urge you to stick to the congregation. Wa iyyakum wal furqa. And I warn you, beware of being by yourself. Fa inna shaytana ma'al wahid. For indeed the shaytan is with the devil, is with the person who is by themselves. Wa huwa min al-ithnaini ab'ad. And from two people, he is a little bit more distant. Meaning the more we congregate together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more distant the shaytan is from us. And so now, as we're coming out of the month of Ramadan, we've come out of the month of Ramadan, we should start thinking about how do we bring back those feelings of Ramadan. And one very simple response and answer and solution to that problem is congregation, is jama'ah, be there together. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Once again, this is why so many of our acts of worship are legislated in congregation. The Jumu'ah prayer, which we are all involved in right now, may Allah accept, is an act of worship that we do in congregation. The five daily prayers should be prayed in congregation. Ramadan, we fast all together. Hajj and Umrah, we make with other people. These are all acts of congregation. And so we fight the influence of the shaytan. Now the shayateen have been let loose. We fight that by being together with one another. My brothers and sisters, when we are alone, when we are by ourselves, the shaytan can play with us. The shaytan can make us feel that perhaps, wal-iyadu billah, that this is something that we owe to Allah. The acts of worship can feel difficult for us. And subhanAllah, there is a very big difference between believing that the acts of worship are difficult, or feeling that the acts of worship are difficult, versus this is something that Allah needs from us. Because it is normal to feel like worship is difficult. Absolutely, it is normal. But to feel that somehow we are doing a favor to Allah, that somehow Allah needs us to worship Him, that is very, very dangerous. The reality of our worship, when we are able to fight the influence of the shaitan, is that we are the ones who benefit from our worship. We are the ones who need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah jalla wa ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O people, you are the ones who are in need of Allah. And the word that Allah uses is fuqara, faqir, meaning you are poor, you are desperate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. Allah is free of any need, and Allah is the one who should be praised. Allah is not in need of us. Allah is not in need of our worship. Whether all of us worshiped Allah with the best of our ability, it would not matter to Allah. It would not make any difference in the greatness of Allah. If all of us left the worship of Allah and became disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not decrease from the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. And I want to share with you one example of this type of devotion to Allah. You know, in the month of Ramadan, we got used to fundraisers. We got used to people collecting money. And sometimes, like, let's just be real, it could feel a little irritating. You come to the masjid, you want to pray taraweeh, and after 4 rak'ahs or 8 rak'ahs, depending on how many your masjid prays, but in the middle, or after 2 rak'ahs, someone stands up and says, brothers and sisters, before we continue with the taraweeh prayer, we have to raise some money. And certainly we may feel, you know what, why do we have to do this now? And we may feel irritated at that. And we may think to ourselves, like, come on, I'm just here to pray. I just want to pray. I want to get it done. Like, it's almost as if, and we may not say this out loud, but some people are feeling this on the inside. We may think to ourselves, like, are you really going to hold me hostage? All right, I'm just here to pray. And now you're holding my prayer hostage. And I've heard people even say this out loud. May Allah protect us. And we may think that, subhanAllah, this is something that the masjid owes to us, that we pray taraweeh in the masjid. And the reality is, and I often say, subhanAllah, you know, the sunnah of taraweeh is the Prophet ﷺ prayed taraweeh at home and in the masjid. So if it's really bothering you, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to leave it there, right? But we may think to ourselves, why? Why do we have to do this now? And we may feel like it is a burden, that somehow we are doing a favor to those who are asking for money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah jalla wa ala tells us of this example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here you are. Ha antum tud'auna litunfiqu fi sabilillah. Allah says, here you are, invited to spend in the way of Allah. And that's us, right? When someone asks us for money, when a fundraiser happens, especially in the middle of, you know, where we're congregated in the masjid, ha antum tud'auna litunfiqu fi sabilillah. Allah says, here you are, invited to spend in the way of Allah. And then Allah says, faminkum may yabkhal. Amongst you are those who, the word is really stingy, right? Bukhl, but it means hold back. There are those amongst you who hold back, who feel like this is a burden. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَبْخَلْ. And for those who hold back, فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَن نَفْسِهِ. Allah says the one who holds back is only holding back from themselves. Now that is a change in perspective. That's a very different paradigm, because when someone comes and says, give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we now think to ourselves, like, I gotta give something up. I'm doing a favor to someone, that we have some rank over them now that we are giving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who holds back, فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَن نَفْسِهِ. They're only holding back from themselves. Meaning you think that your charity is going to make the difference. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Allah is the one who is in charge of these people, those people who are in need. If you do not give, Allah will find those who give. If you do not help, Allah will find those who will help. If you do not serve this deen, Allah will replace you and find those who will serve this deen. If you don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are others who will worship Allah and reap the rewards of that worship of Allah jalla wa ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu al-ghani. Allah is free of any need. If you think you're giving to Allah, meaning Allah needs this from you, Allah is free of any need. Wa antumul fuqara. You are the ones who are truly in need, meaning you are in need of this reward, of this act of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after the month of Ramadan, when we begin to feel like our acts of worship are a burden, we may drag our feet. The salah comes and we're like, you know, we don't have that same energy that we had in the month of Ramadan. We remind ourselves, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaytan, from the whisperings of the shaytan that is telling you, oh, here's another chore that you have to do. Here's another ritual that you have to perform. And our deen is very clear that our acts of worship are not just rituals. They are acts of devotion. They're acts of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what our acts of worship are. And we are the ones, my brothers and sisters, who are in need of this worship of Allah. And Allah tells us of one of the main reasons we transgress, we disobey Allah. Kalla innal insana layatgha arraahu istaghna. No, but surely man transgresses. Human beings transgress. Why? Arraahu istaghna. This person, they see themselves as being self-sufficient. The moment we feel that we don't need Allah, we don't need Islam, we don't need our deen, we become distant from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we were to just focus for just a moment and contemplate on our need for our Rabb and our Lord and our sustainer and our provider, we would understand that we are the fuqara. We are the ones who are desperately in need. And you know, these verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to human beings as fuqara, this includes the rich and the poor, by the way. Because the poor and the rich, they're all before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all fuqara. You know, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about not having more wealth. And I know that sounds odd. If you know the Sahaba, the companions, it sounds odd that they would want more wealth. But listen to why they complained. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. They said, those who have the wealth, they have taken all of the reward. يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّ. They pray as we pray. وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نُصُومُ. They fast as we fast. So they're saying in their worship, we're all on the same level. وَلَكِنْ يَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. But they are able, they give from the wealth that Allah has given to them, meaning they're saying, oh, Messenger of Allah, how is it fair that we don't have wealth so that we can give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they are complaining, but they are complaining that we wish we had wealth so we could gain that reward that the wealthy have, that opportunity. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the rest of this hadith, the meaning and the lesson of this hadith, Prophet sallam teaches them that it is not about numbers and figures and wealth, it is about our intention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he mentioned to them, he said, innali bikulli takbiratin sadaqa wa kulli tahlilatin sadaqa wa kulli tasbihatin sadaqa. He told the companions that when you say subhanallah, that is a form of charity as well. When you say la ilaha illallah, when you say subhanallah alhamdulillah, all of those are forms of charity, meaning if it's about reward, then remember that Allah has given everyone different strengths and different weaknesses. We may attain the reward of someone else by doing a different act of worship. And so the message here, my brothers and sisters, is that desperation for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the mindset that we need to be in post-Ramadan, after Ramadan. That we remind ourselves that we are the ones who are in need of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I want to share with you another hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions the circumstance or the case of a person who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said he journeyed a long distance, a very far distance, and he arrived at his destination, disheveled and dusty. Meaning this journey took him a long time, and some of our scholars interpret this hadith to mean the journey of Hajj. Meaning a person travels very far from their homeland. They make these sacrifices, and obviously back in those times, that journey left a person disheveled and dusty. And yes, even in our times, we feel tired when we take a long journey. And the Prophet ﷺ said this person traveled this long journey and they arrived disheveled and dusty. And this person raises their hands and they begin to make dua. This person says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, my Lord, my Lord. Meaning this person begins in their dua, in their supplication, in their prayer. And then the Prophet ﷺ says something which honestly is very scary to hear. But I think we need to hear. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, this person raises his hands and makes dua to say, my Rabb, my Lord, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram, wa malbasuhu haram, fa anna yustajabu lah. The Prophet ﷺ says that this person's food is haram, meaning either what they're eating is haram or that the food was attained in a haram way. Their drink is haram. It is impermissible. Once again, either they attained it in a way that is impermissible, it is haram, or what they are drinking is haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ haram. Their clothing. They clothe themselves with the haram. They nourish themselves. This person nourished themselves with that which Allah has made impermissible. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. So how is it that this person's dua will be answered? And what this hadith means, my brothers and sisters, and sometimes people misinterpret this hadith and they think that what this means is that if a person has committed sins, Allah will not answer their dua. That is not correct. What the message of this hadith is, the mindset and the emotional and spiritual state that a person is in when they are making dua. That if a person lives their life not caring about Allah, not caring about their food or their drink or their clothing or their sustenance, meaning the person lives their life disconnected from Allah. They don't think, is this pleasing to Allah or not? Is this displeasing to Allah or not? There is a disconnect in their connection with Allah. Their connection with Allah is damaged in their daily life. There's something missing. And if there is something missing in their life, then certainly when they make dua, that connection will be broken as well. That connection will have a problem. Because a believer lives their life with taqwa, with consciousness of Allah, constant submission to Allah, constant renewal of that submission where we go from moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day. We are thinking of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in turn, when that person makes dua, their dua will be a strong dua. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us of those people whose dua is very strong, that we owe them a favor. You know, on one occasion, the spoils of war were being distributed amongst the companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Abghuni du'afa'akum." He said, "Bring to me the weak and vulnerable amongst you." And some of the companions, they said, you know, the weak and vulnerable, the old and the sick, I mean, they didn't go out and fight in this battle. Right? So why do they get a share of the spoils of war? And you know what the Prophet ﷺ told them? He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Hal tunsaruna wa turzaquna illa bidu'afa'ikum?" He said, "Do you think Allah gives you victory? Do you think Allah provides for you except by the weak and the vulnerable amongst you? How do you think this ummah is sustained? By the dua of the people who have everything? By the dua of the people who don't feel that they need Allah? By the dua of the people who go day to day not once thinking of Allah? Or does Allah sustain this ummah by the dua of the weak and the vulnerable who know every day that they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every day they feel desperate to Allah. Every day they do not know whether their home will be standing or not. Every day they do not know whether their parents will live to see the end of the day or not. War-torn countries that are being bombed constantly. oppressed and subjugated people. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is by their dua that Allah sustains you. These are the people that have a rank amongst us. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ made sure that they were recognized amongst us. Because we owe them. And my brothers and sisters, I'm not here to shame you or to guilt you because of what Allah has given to you. I'm only here to remind you and remind myself that if Allah has given to us, this means that our connection with Allah needs to be strong. Because we can forget. We can forget that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can get caught up in life, caught up in what's going on in our life. And I'm not saying we don't have our own problems. Everyone has their own challenges and their problems. But if we compare our lives to our brothers and sisters, and I would usually say, you know, across the world, overseas, yes, but even in the United States of America, there are brothers and sisters of ours who are struggling. And if we compare ourselves to them, we would realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us so much. And so when we worship Allah Jalla wa Ala, this is a form of gratefulness and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the companions of the Prophet sallam, they would fear the test of ease more than the test of hardship. They would say, when Allah puts us in a calamity, we can recognize this as a test. We know Allah is testing us. But when Allah gives to us and we're living an easy life, how do we know? We can become complacent. We can you know, just become heedless and not remember that Allah is testing everyone. Allah tests some with difficulty and Allah tests others with ease. And so my brothers and sisters, these are the days to reflect upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And one of the things that I would recommend is to connect with those brothers and sisters who are going through difficult times. To sit with them, to talk to them, to connect with them, to hear their stories. Because that builds empathy. Meaning you can try and feel what your brothers and sisters, what our brothers and sisters are feeling. And that'll help us connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important that we also remember how fragile life is. How can we feel self-sufficient when the next moment in our life is not guaranteed? Some of us came in here assuming that we will reach the end of the day. May Allah protect us and preserve us. But no one has that guarantee. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ reminded us to remember death. He said, أَكْثِرُ مِن ذِكْرِ حَذَ بِاللَّذَّاتِ. He said, increase in remembering that which destroys temptations, desires, al-maut, death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us live our life in the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen.